and I'm not even gonna go near a social worker. Not going there. And hell, you think a guy like me is into adult supervision? I mean, I've lived without that all my fucking life. Shit, I don't have a clue as to what I'm gonna do. Does it look like I have a plan? This bench? That's my plan. I'm like one of those dogs that jump the fence. They go like, ah, freedom! And then they look around all confused and shit because they don't have a plan. Samantha Diaz had a look on her face. I knew that look. She leaned in to Fito and gave him a shove with her shoulder. I have an idea, she said. You and that dog may not have a plan, Fito, but I do. God, I loved her smile. She hadn't smiled like that in a while. Sam. Awesome. Okay, we can't tell your dad.
I don't like keeping secrets from him.
Not that I wasn't keeping secrets.
Well, we're not doing anything wrong.
That's true. We're just not telling him what we're up to.
We're not really up to anything. We're just helping our friend. Like, that's a bad thing. I mean, adults always want us to be good people and do nice things for others and all that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We were walking back toward the library after we'd eaten breakfast, and Sam and I had packed a lunch for Fito. Sam had made him promise to wait for us. He'd shrugged and said, like I got somewhere to go. I looked at Sam as we walked.
You sure this is okay? You are the most risk-averse person I have ever fucking met. No bueno.
No bueno what?
You're a worrier. You're 17 years old, and you're a worrier.
So what?
It means I care. I care too, and look at me. Do I look worried?
The discussion was so not fruitful. I shook my head.
Look, she said, just don't tell your dad. That's all you have to do. Just do not tell. That's not exactly trigonometry.
She rolled her eyes. I rolled mine.
Look, she said, Vito's our friend, right? So we can help him on our own. We don't always need permission to do the right thing. Or do we?
Fito was sitting on his bench, reading a book in front of the library. Kind of a normal sight. But it wasn't really normal. Not if you knew the story.
Maybe everything looked normal on the outside.
On the inside, well, there was always some kind of hurricane spinning around. So there was Fito, sitting on a bench and reading a book, looking all normal. He waved as he saw us walking toward him.
Yeah, normal.
I went into the library and checked out a book. I also brushed my teeth and washed up in the bathroom. He didn't seem as upset as before. I guess he'd had lots of experience in dealing with bad things happening to him.
You're sure it's okay that I stay in your old house?
He asked Sam after she told him her plan.
Absolutely. No one lives there. We're going to put it up for sale, but my Aunt Lena said it needs some work. The house is just sitting there, all alone. Like you.
That made Fito smile. He didn't do a lot of smiling. Nope, not a smiler. Not that he'd ever had much to smile about. I handed Fito a lunch bag with a couple of sandwiches in it.
Hungry?
He took the bag.
I'm always hungry.
And he wolfed it down. That guy did not eat. That's not what he did. He wolfed. There we were, me and Sam and Fito, sitting in Sam's living room. Not that she lived there anymore. There were a lot of boxes around, most things all packed up, waiting to be moved.
You know, Sam said, we almost moved everything out. We were going to put a lot of this stuff in storage, and then Lena said, what for? We can leave it here.
She looked at Fito.
So now you have a place to stay. And we still have electricity, and we still have water. Very cool. The heater doesn't work. It went haywire on us, and Mom didn't get around to fixing it. Poor Mom. Sam got this look on her face. But we have lots of blankets. You won't freeze to death. And sorry, no TV and no internet. Vito just kind of shrugged.
Don't do TV. And you think I had internet at my house?
He looked around and kept nodding. And then I thought he was sort of going to start crying. He looked away and put his head down. But he kept himself together.
Why are you guys being so nice to me?
Because we're such fucking nice people. That's Sam. Her and that word. But she was the best. Maybe when she was old, she'd be all heart, like Mima. And everybody would love her. Well, maybe not. There was something wild in Sam. But that didn't mean she didn't have a heart. She had a heart, all right. A really good one. We hung out with Fito most of the morning, listening to vinyl records. Mostly Beatles stuff. Fito was really into Abbey Road. I wondered if we were pretending that everything was fine when it wasn't. I mean, getting thrown out of your own house was pretty drastic. And Sam and I had stuff going on in our heads and in our hearts. Just as I was watching Sam and Fito singing along with one of the songs, I remembered a dream I'd had the night before about Mima. How I couldn't find her. And I thought about the letter my mom left me. And wondered what I was so afraid of. Risk averse. That's what Sam said I was. It was a nice way of saying I was afraid of trying new things. Maybe what it really meant was that I was a coward. Maybe I lost my temper with guys who acted like assholes because I wasn't brave enough to talk to them. I felt a pillow hit my head. What are you thinking over there? I smiled at Sam. Just stuff. I know, she said. Let's order pizza. And Fito can tell us about his shitty childhood, and I can tell you about what stage of grief I'm in today.
Yep, yep, I said.
Fito looked at her like, what? I texted Dad. Sam and I are hanging out with Fito. It wasn't a lie, but why did I have this thing in me that didn't feel all that good when I kept secrets? What was up with me anyway? I needed to stop analyzing myself. I didn't have the credentials to be my own therapist. I swear that Fito could eat. How'd he stay so skinny? He was like Sam. Good thing we ordered a large pizza. Let's play a game. Sam was always making up games. And she always changed the rules and always said she could do that because, surprise, she was the one who'd invented the game.
What game? I said.
What was the worst moment in your life? The only rule is that you have to be honest.
Okay, but only if the next game is what was the best moment in your life.
Okay, that's fair. If you have to have your optimism fixed for the day, I'm good with that. I could see Fito getting a kick out of the way Sam and I got along. She looked at Fito. You first.
Why me? I'm the new guy in this group.
Yep. Initiation.
Well, actually, the worst moment in my life is my whole life.
Wrong.
I laughed.
Sam's gonna be tough on you. She's like that. I can even tell you why she said wrong. All right, smartass. Why did I say wrong? Because it's not specific. There's no detail. If you don't get to relish in Fito's tragedy, if you can't do that, it's no fun. I don't do relish, Sam said.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, you think you know me so well.
Point out where I was wrong.
She gave me one of her I think I might hate you at this very moment, smiles, and turned her attention back to Fito. We're waiting. My worst moment. I have a lot to pick from. Let's see. It would have to be when I was about 5. Maybe I was 6. So this guy came to our house, and he and my mom, they were doing something. Smoking something out of a pipe. And my mom and him, they start taking off their clothes and shit. And they're making out and shit. And I don't really know what the hell is going on, and so I asked them. And the guy goes after me. I mean, he goes after me. I thought he was going to kill me. I remember running out of the house to get away. I spent the night hiding in the backyard. In the morning, I didn't go inside until I saw that his car was gone. I had dreams about that for a long time. He looked at Sam. How'd I do? Sam leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. I'm sorry, she whispered. This is a stupid game. But Fito smiled at her. Not so fast. Your turn. We all started laughing. And who cared if it was just whistling in the dark? Okay, Sam said. Mom left me alone once for a whole weekend. I was 7. I interrupted her. Why didn't you come over? Or call, or... You and your dad were somewhere out of town. Some art show or something. And I was scared. Mom told me not to open the door for anyone and just leave it locked. She said she'd be back on Sunday morning. Anyway, I was sleeping that Saturday night and I woke up. I heard a crash, and I knew someone had broken the window to the back bedroom where my mother slept. I didn't know what to do, so I ran out the front door. She looked sad. Fito wore this really kind expression. And then what happened? I ran to the Circle K up the street, the place where you're working now, and there was a police car parked there. And I saw 2 policemen in the store, and they were paying for coffee. So I just went in and told them someone was breaking into my house. One of the policemen was super nice. Did you forget your shoes? Anyway, I showed them where I lived, and we went inside, and someone had taken the television and some other stuff. And the policeman asked me where my mother was. I told them she was away on a family emergency, that my babysitter was here when I went to sleep, but when I heard the noise, she was gone. Why did you lie? I didn't want my mother to get in trouble. I don't know what happened, but my Aunt Lena got involved, and she told my mother she was going to take me away from her. I remember that. It was scary. Really, really scary. And my mom never left me alone again. Well, not until I was like 13. But I spent a lot of weekends at your house, Sally. Why do you always call him Sally? I rolled my eyes and shook my head. I think it's a control thing, I said. That pissed Sam off. A control thing? Really? Yeah. If you get to name me, you get to tell me what to do. You shit. Maybe it's a sign of affection. Wow. I had actually never thought of that. My bad, I said. Yeah, Sam said. You're bad. Fito, he was still thinking about Sam's story. He looked at her and said, That sucks, that she left you alone. Yeah, well, my mother was a complicated woman. I used to hate her. Now I miss hating her. She shrugged. That came out wrong. That came out perfectly, I said. Yeah, yeah. Your turn, Sally. Okay. I don't have horror stories like you guys. See, when you guys are all grown up, you're going to have all these stories about how you survived your childhood. Me, I won't have any of those stories. And then both Sam and Fito looked at me, and it was as if they'd rehearsed, because they both blurted out at the same time,
bullshit.
Bullshit? Really?
You heard us, Sam said.
Whatever, I said. Let me see. I think the worst moment of my life was that night when you called from in front of Walgreens, Sammy. I was so scared. I thought someone had really, really hurt you. That was the worst moment of my life. Sam leaned over and kissed me on the forehead.
You are the sweetest boy I have ever known. And don't take this the wrong way, but maybe it's not such a bad thing that you're going through a crisis. You know, maybe it's a good thing.
I'm going through a crisis?
You're an idiot.
But you are the sweetest boy in the world.
Yeah, too bad you're straight. Vito was wearing this really great smile. I wondered how he could smile like that. His life was complicated with a capital C. I guess all our lives were complicated, even mine. Sam's mother was dead. Vito didn't have a place of his own. Mima was dying, and everything was changing. I felt as if I needed to do something to fix everything that was wrong with all the people I loved. But I couldn't fix anything. Not a damn thing.
Dad. When Sam and I got home, Dad was sitting at the kitchen table going through some recipes.
Thanksgiving, he said. It's coming up on us. I think I'll bake the pies this year.
Cool, I said. We'll help you.
Everyone will be in by Wednesday.
You excited, Dad?
Yeah, I am. It'll be great to see Julian.
My Uncle Julian was the oldest. My dad was the youngest. And there was that big age spread. Yet they were so close. Dad was wearing one of those nostalgia smiles. He looked at me and smirked.
Of course, they'll all spoil you.
Well, it's not my fault I was the baby. Everybody was all grown up when I came along. My dad laughed.
You were such a great kid, always laughing. When you were about 4, you had a habit of exploring everyone's face with your small fingers. You used to run your hands across my face. And if I hadn't shaved, you'd run to the bathroom, get my razor, and hand it to me. For some reason, you hated an unshaved face.
I watched him as he went through his recipes. What kind of pies are you going to make, Dad?
Pumpkin. One apple pie for Julian. He doesn't like pumpkin. And maybe a couple of pecan pies. Your Aunt Evie loves pecan pies.
And Mima?
Mima's like me. Traditional pumpkin pie.
Me too, I said. Me too, Sam said. Did you know I've never had a homemade Thanksgiving dinner? I looked at her. What? Don't look at me like that. I'm not an alien from Mars. What did you do on Thanksgiving? My mom and I went to the Sun Bowl Parade, which always lasted forever. And we'd watch all the people, and then we'd go out to eat and to a movie. That was our Thanksgiving.
That's awful, I said.
I liked the parade in the movie. And you know, I didn't really care.
My dad shook his head. Well, you're in for a treat.
The best part of Thanksgiving is on Friday, I said. Sam was wearing a question mark on her face. On Friday we make tamales, I said. It's a tradition. Samantha raised her arms as if she were watching a soccer match and someone had scored a goal. I'm totally going on Facebook with the tamale thing. For those haters out there who think I know absolutely nothing about being a Mexican. Dad just grinned. Me, Sam, us doing this. I was lying in bed, alone. Maggie was into this taking turns sleeping with us thing. Sometimes she slept with me, sometimes she slept with Sam. My dog was all about equality. I got this idea in my head to make a book for Mima. Well, Not a book, exactly. But photos with captions on them. I guess I wanted to give her something before she died. Yeah, she was going to die. I hated that word. I remembered a story my dad told me about Mima. How she'd come upon some thieves on their farm. The thieves were stealing all the sacks of dried red chilies she'd worked so hard to harvest. Sacks of chilies she'd sell to help support her family. And there they were, these two guys putting the sacks in their truck. She threatened to cut them down like the weeds they were, and she managed to keep them at bay with a hoe until Popo arrived. I loved that story. I tried to picture her as a strong woman, holding a hoe like a baseball player at bat, protecting what she'd worked for, protecting her children who were lined up behind her. I remembered one of our teachers talking to another teacher in the hallway saying, "Today's kids don't know shit about what we've been through." Maybe she was right. But maybe she was wrong. I saw I had a text from Sam. "You think Vito's all right?" Me. "It's like heaven for him. He lived in hell." Sam. "Guess you're right." Me. "You were great today." Sam. "Why?" "Because I let him stay in a house that's empty." Me. "You didn't have to do that." Sam. "World doesn't need another homeless guy." Me. "Are we changing, Sam?" Sam. "Yep, called growing up. I was behind. I'm trying to catch up to my hero." Me. Question mark. Sam. "You, you idiot." Me. "Aw." Sam. "No extra credit for being decent human beings. Isn't that what your dad says?" Me. "Yep. I think we should tell him about Vito." Sam. "Thought about that. We'll tell him later." This is us. We are doing this. Us. Me and you. Me. "You rock." Sam. "I'm proud of us." Me. "Me too." Sam. "But we'll tell your dad." A father thing. I called Sam on her cell when I woke up. That was her alarm. Time to run. I changed into my running clothes and sat on my bed for a little while. Sometimes when you get up, you aren't really awake. But you aren't really asleep either. I made my way to the kitchen to drink a glass of water. That was the routine now. Drink water, go running, then drink coffee. Coffee tasted better after a run. Well, another glass of water, then the coffee. Dad wasn't reading the paper. He was sketching something on his pad and drinking his coffee. I sat down. Then Sam walked into the kitchen. "Dad," I said, "we have something to tell you." My dad got this look on his face. "Relax, it's nothing bad," I said. Sam sat down. "Mr. V, we've kidnapped Vito."
"What?"
"Well, we didn't really kidnap him." Then she launched into the whole story. Every detail, about how we ran to the bridge and about how we found Vito sleeping on the bench in front of the library. I mean, she certainly didn't leave anything out. Well, she left out the worst moment in our lives thing. My dad sat there looking at us, as if he were watching a tennis match, his eyes moving from me to Sam to me to Sam.
"Part of me says this isn't a very good idea."
"Dad, he's going to be 18 in December. That's like tomorrow."
"That doesn't mean he should be on his own."
"So what's the solution?"
"No use in calling social services. By the time they process him, he'll age out. They may not even bother."
My dad sat there thinking.
"So you didn't tell me yesterday because..."
Sam raised her hand.
we weren't sure. I mean, my motto is usually it's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission.
My dad put his hands over his face and busted out laughing.
Ay, Samantha. Qué muchacha.
You know, Dad, I said, we have to learn how to make decisions on our own, without you watching over us. Remember that overprotective thing?
Dad nodded.
God, you're sweet kids, you know that? You're helping a friend the best way you know how. That's a beautiful thing, but...
I looked at my dad.
But? There have to be rules. You can't have any girls over.
He's gay, Dad, remember?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
He grinned.
Well, then, no boys. In fact, he can't have company. Just you two. He doesn't party and all that stuff, does he?
Dad, he works two jobs and studies. He wants to get into college.
Dad nodded.
He apparently has more ambition than you.
I had the what thing on my face.
No year off for you. You are going to college next year. And that's that.
My dad never said that's that.
Okay, I said.
Okay, he said.
Go for your run.
I'm going to pay Fito a visit.
What for?
It's a father thing. That okay with you?
My dad, the cat. Sam and I ran through the streets of Sunset Heights. Yeah, we were zigzagging through our neighborhood. Maybe that's what life was. You zigged and you zagged, and then you got up every morning and zigged and zagged some more. Thanksgiving week. A big holiday for Mima. I was making a list in my head of the things I was grateful for. I had talked to Mima on the phone the night before. She said she'd already made her list.
Did I make the top 10?
I asked. She laughed. I liked making her laugh.
Of course you did, she said.
I wanted to tell her that she was first on my list. Well, maybe she was second. Dad was first, and Sam was third. Maybe it wasn't a good idea to rank the people in your life. That's not how the heart worked. The heart didn't make lists. Sam and I sat on the front steps. We did that a lot after our morning runs, if we had time. Today we had time. On Sundays, we always had time. Great run today, she said. Yeah, I said. You're a great runner. You were slow today. That's because you were in your head.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm happy today, she said. You know something? I don't think I've been a very happy person most of my life. I leaned in and nudged her. Most of your life? You say that like you're an old lady. You're only 17. It's true, though. I think I liked being miserable. Yeah, you did. Are you making fun of me?
Yeah, I am.
I looked up and saw Dad coming up the sidewalk. How was your visit with Fito?
He's a very fine young man.
His life kind of sucks, I said.
I get that. He's a survivor, though. Some people can survive just about anything.
He started to go inside.
I'm going out back to have a cig. Why don't you guys hit the shower? We can take Fito grocery shopping.
Sam was wearing this giant smile. Are you gonna adopt him, too?
My dad grinned.
Some people collect stamps. Me? I collect 17-year-old kids.
I asked Fito about his conversation with Dad.
Your dad's cool. I never met a dad like yours. I like that cat.
So, what did you talk about?
He just wanted to make sure I was okay.
He asked me about my mom and shit. So I just basically laid it all out. Told him how things rolled in our dysfunctional little household. And after I finished telling him all my shit, you know what your dad said?
What?
He said, Vito, I hope you know you deserve better than that. You do know that, don't you? That's what he said. How cool is that? That sounded exactly like something my dad would say. Oh, yeah, and he gave me some rules for living in the house.
Rules?
Yeah, like no one else allowed in the house, just me. Well, you and Sam, you're cool, but no one else. Believe me, I'm down with that. I don't want strays eyeing things in Sam's house. It's called respect. I'm down.
Any other rules?
Yeah, I have to quit one of my jobs. I'm down with that, too. I'm tired. I'm really tired. He said I should just work my weekend job and stick with the school thing. Graduate, go to college, and try to have some fun. That's what he said. Have some fun. Like I know what that is.
Is that word even in your vocabulary?
Nope.
Sam will teach you how to spell it.
And one more rule he gave me. Your dad's all about rules. That made me laugh. It's not like I'm bitching about your dad. Look, nobody ever cared enough about me to give me a rule. Your dad said I needed to stop spending so much time alone. I don't know how he knew that. He said I'm isolated. Isolated? Is that a verb?
Yeah, it is, I said.
Your dad. Man, oh man. You should have been a counselor. Anyway, I got an invite to eat at your house anytime I want. A standing invitation. His smile was breaking my heart.
Hanging out. So Sam texted Fito and told him to come over and have some soup. I texted him too.
Got homework?
Fito. Yup, math and shit.
Me. Bring it with.
Fito.
Damn straight.
And then guess who knocked on the door?
Marcos.
Came over for some soup? I asked.
Yeah.
I guess that was the idea.
Dad was in the kitchen slicing some bread. Sam was sitting on the couch texting. She waved at Marcos. I was hoping she'd be nice. I was surprised when Marcos sat in my dad's chair.
Can I talk to you two for a sec?
Sam, boy, she perked right up. She even set her phone down on the coffee table.
Talk? She said. We're listening.
He looked a little uncomfortable.
I'm getting this vibe that you don't...
He stopped, trying to find the words, so I thought I'd help the poor guy out.
We're okay, Marcos.
I knew I didn't mean it, but I wanted to mean it. Sam nodded.
Yeah, we're good.
She didn't sound all that convincing. Marcos smiled.
I'm an idiot. You know that, don't you?
Sam smiled back at him.
Yeah, I get that vibe from you.
But it didn't come out mean or snarky, the way she said that.
Well, a little snarky, but a little sweet, too.
She was trying.
Marcos looked at me and nodded. 5 years ago, I left your dad. It was the biggest mistake of my life. I wanted you to know that. I wanted you to know that I hurt him once. You have no idea how much I regret that hurt. For the last 5 years, not a day has gone by when I didn't think of Vicente. Not one day.
Sam and I were just looking at each other. Marcos smiled at us.
You two are a pair, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, I said.
My father walked into the living room. Sometimes when Mima saw me, her face would glow. Sometimes, because she loved me so much. That's how my dad looked now. Sam and I sat there looking at each other. Marcos and Dad walked toward the kitchen, and then Sam said, "Sometimes adults can be very cool." Marcos and Dad looked at her, and she flashed them a smile. I said, "Sometimes." Sam was washing the dishes. She'd come a long way with stuff like that. The first time she cleaned the bathroom, I swear the people in Juarez could hear her bitching. But now it was a normal thing with her. Marcos was an engineer, so he was helping Fito with his math. I heard him explaining the concepts. I should have probably been paying attention, but I was so not about math. Nope. Dad was sitting in his chair writing something on a yellow legal pad. Sam came into the living room. I watched her as she walked over to him and kissed him on the cheek. He smiled at her.
What was that for?
Just because, she said. And I heard myself saying, "Oh, now we're into just because kisses." Yeah, and you're so not getting one. I thought about how we all sat down tonight to eat my dad's soup. Dad and Marcos, and Fito, and Sam and me. We'd played a game, the one we didn't finish at Sam's house, the "What's the best moment in my life" game. Dad said the best moment in his life was the day I was born.
An emergency C-section. Your mother couldn't hold you.
I was the lucky guy.
God, did you belt out a cry? Yeah, that was the most beautiful moment in my life.
Marcos said the best moment in his life was the day he met my father. I thought that was a brave thing to say.
But I also think it was the truth.
Yeah, being brave and telling the truth went together. Whatever happened between them in the past, well, it was in the past. I know I was trying to find all the faults in the guy, but I wasn't getting very far. And Sam, the best moment in her life? Well, she said, the day I came to live here. That was the best moment in my life. Even though I came to live here because my mom died, I feel safe. This feels like home. And Fito said, "Hell, you know, this is the best moment in my life. This moment. Right now." I thought Sam was going to cry, but she didn't. And me? I said the best moment in my life was the day it rained yellow leaves. And I told them all about that afternoon with Mima. I had never told anyone about that. No one. I don't think Mima even remembers. But I do. Dad smiled.
Maybe I'll paint that.
Yeah. I could see that painting in my head. For the longest time, our house had belonged to me and Dad. It was just the two of us. And life was good. Simple and uncomplicated. Or maybe that's the way I saw it. If I stopped to think about it, the whole thing hadn't been that uncomplicated. Not for Dad. I remembered him telling me that love was infinite. Infinity. That isn't like the pi thing in math. Or maybe it is. Love has no end. It just goes on and on. It was a nice evening. A beautiful evening, really. Yeah, Mima was still dying, and Sam's mom was still dead, and Fito was living in exile from his family, and I still wasn't dealing with the stupid essay I needed to write to get into college, and I was still staying away from reading my mother's letter, as if it had a snake in it or something. Still, it was a nice evening. Even if I was trying to figure out if Marcos was for real, or if he was just playing it all up so he could get my dad back. Me, Fito, Sam.
On the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Dad said,
"Did you invite Vito over for Thanksgiving dinner at Mima's?"
"No," I said.
"No."
He looked at me as if I'd committed a crime. He shook his head.
"What are you waiting for?"
I felt bad. I mean, yeah, I felt bad. Shit. Another little slip. So Sam and I picked Vito up. We always said that. "We'll pick you up." We weren't really picking him up. I mean, we walked to school. But Sam's house was on the way, and I had always stopped by, and we'd go to school. Vito was waiting for us outside, and Sam and I waved.
"Hey."
Vito waved.
"Hey."
And then Vito said he had had a bad dream. "Bad dreams suck," Sam said.
"Yeah, I have lots of them."
We walked along, and I asked Vito, "So what are you doing for Thanksgiving?"
"Well, this guy Ernie, he wants me to work for him at the K, so I'm probably gonna work."
"Tell him no," I said. "Tell him you have plans."
"But I don't."
"You do now. You're spending it with us."
"Nah," he says. "No can do. No bueno."
"No bueno? What's wrong with you?"
"You know, you and Sam, you show up and you're kind of like these fucking angels and you're all like sweet and stuff and nice and shit. And I'm this guy who's all messed up. I mean, what have I got? I gotta get my stuff together. I mean, why do you guys keep hanging out with me? I got nothing to offer."
Sam got a fierce look on her face. "Oh, you think we just feel sorry for you? Is that it? You're full of shit, you know that, Vito? Maybe when Sally looks at you, he thinks you're worth something. Maybe when I look at you, maybe I think you're worth something too. Just because you don't like yourself doesn't mean other people don't like you. And if you ever say you don't have anything to offer in my presence, if you ever say that again, then I'm going to kick your ass from here to Michoacan."
"Michoacan?" I said. And then we got all goofy and laughing. And then Fito sort of hung his head and he was blinking his eyes, like he was trying to blink away all the tears that he'd held inside all his life.
"I'm just, you know, I'm just not used to people being so nice to me." Sam leaned over and kissed him on the cheek. "Well, get used to it, Vito." And then we walked. Three friends walking to school. Vito was smiling, and Sam was smiling, and I was smiling. And I looked at her and whispered, "I like who you're becoming." Sam, Eddie, me. I thought it was going to be a perfect day, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. But it didn't turn out that way. Not perfect. No bueno. To begin with, no one wanted to be in school. You could feel it in the hallways. It felt like we were fire ants going crazy on a busy anthill, or something like that. Sam would have laughed at me if she had been listening in on my thoughts. I was okay with words, but let's just say I wasn't going to grow up to be a writer. What was I going to be? Maybe a boxer. Ha, ha. I decided I was going to wait out the day. During lunch, I went outside to get some air. I needed to breathe. Malaise. That's what I was feeling. Malaise. But just as I stepped outside, I saw Sam lost in a conversation with Eddie. Really? She was talking to Eddie? It made me crazy to see them talking to each other as if nothing had happened. They didn't even notice when I walked up to them. "Sam," I said, "what in the hell are you doing?" "I'm talking to Eddie," she said softly. "And why are you yelling at me?"
"Because you're talking to a guy who tried to hurt you."
"Sally,
I didn't let her finish. Sam, just walk away right now. Just walk back inside. That's when Eddie decided to step into the conversation. Look, Sal, we were just... Say another word, and I'll beat the holy crap out of you, you son of a bitch. That's when I felt Sam slap. She slapped me so hard I fell back. And then we just looked at each other.
Who are you?
She whispered.
Who are you, Sally? Who are you?
The rest of the day, I could feel my cheek still burning. Part 5. Highways are nice and paved, and they have signs telling you which way to go. Life isn't like that at all. Sam, learning to talk. Me. I waited for Sam at her locker after school. I was scared and I didn't know what was happening between us. Things had never been this way, and I had this awful feeling in my gut. I saw her walking toward me, but she pretended not to see me. She completely ignored me as she opened her locker, pulled out a couple of books, and then slammed it shut.
I'm not talking to you, she said.
I had to say something, anything. I'm the one that got slapped in the face.
Maybe you needed it.
You were talking to Eddie. He hurt you. What the hell's wrong with you?
He was apologizing, you stupid shit.
I was handling my own shit just fine, Sally. Oh, I said. God, there was this thing inside me. This thing that said I really was a stupid shit. I felt like an asshole. I mean, I wanted to hide somewhere, but there was no hiding. Oh, I said again.
Oh, that's what you had to say? That's articulate.
I'm sorry, Sam. I really am. God, I sounded stupid.
I don't get you lately. You used to be really sweet.
Maybe I wasn't.
Yes, you were. But now you're so inconsistent.
Well, you're like that sometimes.
But you're not me, Sally.
And you did deserve that slap. And then she smiled.
I see what you mean about hitting people. Sometimes it feels good.
I thought you weren't talking to me. Well, we're going to have to figure some things out, aren't we, Sally? I nodded. I don't know. I didn't feel like using any words. I didn't. But she was talking to me, and maybe there was this little crack in what we had. We weren't broken, though. And that was good, that we weren't broken. I wanted to hug her, but I had the feeling that Sam wasn't quite ready for a hug. Thanksgiving. When Fito handed Mima the flowers he'd brought her, Mima's face really lit up.
Beautiful, she whispered.
Sometimes Mima looked like a little girl. Even now, innocent. And Fito, his face was all red, and he just wanted to find some place to hide. I mean, that guy was super shy. Aunt Evie took the flowers and put them in a vase. She looked at Fito and said,
So sweet, Fito.
Sweet? Not, Fito whispered. Mima put her hand on Fito's cheek.
You're too skinny. You need to eat.
I eat.
Well, you have to eat more.
Mima, I said. He eats all the time. Mima nodded.
When he gets old, he'll be fat. Just like Popo. Popo was skinny, too, but then he married me.
Her laugh was as fragile as the leaves she had raked when I was 5. Everyone was busy doing something in Mima's kitchen. All the voices seemed to mix together.
The voices of my uncles and aunts, and some of my older cousins who had made it back home for a few days. Sam's voice. Vito's voice. And Mima's voice. Her fading voice was the one I heard the loudest. I asked my dad for the keys to the car. I needed cough drops and knew some were stashed in there. I wasn't feeling so hot, and I was afraid I was catching a cold, which was bad news because when I caught a cold, I caught a cold. Bad news. No bueno. My throat was beginning to swell. I knew what that meant. I was thinking, shit, shit, shit. As I walked to the car, I heard my Uncle Tony and my Aunt Evie talking as they sat on the front porch. I had become a chronic eavesdropper.
It's the old girl's last Thanksgiving, Evie.
Don't talk like that, Tony.
What do you want me to say?
We're going to miss that woman. She's something special.
Yeah, Evie. We're all gonna miss her. We really have to make ourselves strong.
I know, Tony.
We can do this, Evie.
Well, we don't have a choice, do we? Aunt Evie was quiet for a little while, and then she said, "You know what I think? I think Mickey's gonna take it the hardest."
"Maybe so," Uncle Tony said. "But I think Vicente's gonna take it the hardest. Only he won't show it."
And then I heard Aunt Evie say, "Actually, I think Salvador's gonna take it the hardest. He and Mom have something special. I still remember the day Vicente brought him over for the first time. Mom fell in love with that boy the minute she took him in her arms. It's beautiful to watch them together. I think the kid's gonna be devastated." Then I heard Uncle Tony say,
"Maybe so, Evie. Maybe so."
I told myself not to think too much about that conversation and just enjoy the beauty of the family I was so lucky to have. If it was going to be Mima's last Thanksgiving, I was going to make the best of it. I walked past the front porch from the side of the house where I'd been listening. I waved at my uncle and aunt as I went to the car and found the cough drops on the driver's side. Dad kept them for what was becoming a smoker's cough. No bueno. I popped one in my mouth, then walked toward the front porch. I smiled at Aunt Evie and hugged her. Uncle Tony slapped me on the back.
"You're a good kid."
I made a joke.
"Not that you'd know. Don't be a smartass."
We were making pies. Well, I wasn't doing any making. It was really just my dad. And Uncle Julian. They're like this team. They look alike. I sat next to Mima as Dad rolled out the dough. Mima nodded.
"I showed him," she said.
She was calm. Then Mima said to me,
"We should make the cornbread."
Yeah. The cornbread.
Mima's stuffing was to die for.
So I got the ingredients and made room for myself on the kitchen table. I took out a big mixing bowl. We always tripled the recipe. Making the cornbread with Mima was my thing. Our little tradition. I watched her hands as they worked the batter over with a wooden spoon. I wanted to kiss them.
"Did we add the sugar?" Mima asked.
I nodded. She winked at me. Then my dad's cell phone rang. He looked at his caller ID and answered. As he listened to the voice on the other end, he was wearing this really great smile, and I knew it was Marcos. Mima was right. She said Dad was sad. No, he hadn't been sad. He'd just been a little lonely. She'd said that too. He noticed that I was watching him, and I just smiled at him, like I knew something. And he just smiled back, like he knew that I knew something. I wondered if Mima knew about Marcos. I wondered what she thought about all that. Maybe it just didn't matter to her. She loved my dad. And all the other complicated stuff, well, maybe it just didn't matter to Mima.
Sam, talk. Vito, talk. Me, talk. Somewhere between making the cornbread and talking to my Uncle Julian, I started feeling a little worse. My muscles ached, and I kept trying to ignore what was going on in my body. Then Uncle Mickey walked into the kitchen smelling like smoke. Not cigarette smoke, but smoke like he'd been camping.
"Time to put the turkeys in," he said.
I knew what that meant, but Sam and Fito didn't. So I dragged them to my uncle's house, 2 blocks away. Uncle Mickey dug a big hole in his backyard every year, put all kinds of seasoning on 2 turkeys, wrapped them in foil, and then wrapped them in gunny sacks that he'd soaked in water for 2 hours. Then he dropped them into the hole, which was full of red-hot wood, homemade charcoal. I took Sam and Fito to Uncle Mickey's, and they watched the whole ritual of wrapping the turkeys, dropping them into the hole, and covering it. Fito was like, "Wow!" And Sam was like, "Wow!" And Uncle Mickey handed Fito and me and Sam each a beer. I noticed that Sam passed on the beer, which made me smile. I thought of the 2 bottles of wine we'd downed, and I sort of just shook my head. My Uncle Mickey talked about the whole cooking in the ground thing, and Fito kept saying, "Man, I am totally a city kind of Mexican." Fito liked the beer thing, but I wasn't into mine, and I was beginning to feel not so great. Still, Thanksgiving had to go on. Fito and Uncle Mickey were talking. Well, hell, they were talking turkey. Seriously.
"In the morning, I'll take those babies out, and it's gonna be the best turkey you'll ever taste."
"You're going to sleep with the boys?" My Aunt Evie had this look on her face.
"Sure I am. Sally and I have had slumber parties since forever."
"Still calling him Sally, huh?"
"Yep. I'm gonna call him that till he grows up."
Aunt Evie laughed.
"And there's no monkey business?"
"Monkey business?" That made Sam laugh. "With Sally. With Fito? Monkeys is right. Nope. Not into monkeys."
Aunt Evie shook her head and smiled as she handed us some extra pillows. Sam got the bed. Of course she did. She was wearing her stupid Chihuahuas t-shirt. Maggie jumped up on the bed with her. Of course she did. If Maggie had the choice between the bed and the floor, Maggie always took the bed. Fito and I were on the floor. Sam was looking for some music on her laptop. Fito was reading a text. I was lying there thinking about things and feeling not so great. I was feeling like I wanted to cry. Maybe it was because I was feeling bad, and it made me feel like a vulnerable little boy, and I didn't like that. Then Fito said, "Wish that Angel would stop texting me."
"He's cute," Sam said.
"Yeah, well, he acts like a girl."
Sam shot him a look.
"What's wrong with that?"
Fito had this "I really stepped in it" look on his face.
"He wants me to buy him stuff. He'd be like, 'What are you gonna buy me?' What is that? It's like I have to buy him stuff to prove that I like him."
"That sucks," I said. Sam rolled her eyes.
"Well, I used to do that too."
"What's that about?"
Sam was all Ms. Expert.
"He's just insecure. No matter what you buy him, he's not going to believe you really like him. Get rid of him."
"Yeah, I told him I didn't have time for that crap. He said, 'Oh, now you be all about your straight friends.'"
"That would be Sam and me?"
"Yup," he said. "I don't know. I don't know shit about love. And even though I'm gay, I don't know shit about being gay."
I laughed. Well, I'm no expert on love either.
That's for sure, Sam said.
Oh,